I, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Isaiah 43, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Friends, I believe the children of God have many, many fears regarding their walk, their life, and eternity. But oh, how we so often lack faith. Faith is the gift of God. We can't give it ourselves, but he gives faith. And he has so clear, made it so clear in this word, that first, God is eternal, and that he is almighty. He also declares that he will work, and who shall let it? Who shall stop him? Who shall intervene? He reigns. What an unspeakable mercy, friends, that is so. I say again, we have many fears regarding our lives, the future, and the making of decisions, because we know that if we make a wrong decision, it will be crossed. The Lord will intervene. We have proved it over the years. We have proved that he reigns. Blessed be his holy name. He reigns. And we have had to prove that he is the heavenly potter, and we are his clay, and he does as he pleases with us. But we have a pathway to walk in, which God has appointed for us. And friends, how wonderful it is when we see a little of God's work, of his wonder working hand. As I mentioned in prayer, we see from time to time that the Lord opens doors and he closes doors. And it's often, or sometimes, it's so different to what you and I thought we was going to do, or even planned to do. We are foolish enough to plan things in our flesh, but we have had to prove at times the Lord has come and he's shut the door. It wouldn't open. Ah, friends, the Lord sees you and I. He knows us. He knows our abilities. He sees our failings. He knows what he can leave with us. He knows what he cannot leave to us. remember even that dear man of God, Paul. He was greatly blessed of the Lord, but the Lord saw that he could not leave him to carry on in that pathway without giving him a thorn in the flesh. It was necessary. Friends, the Lord knows why he had to give him the thorn in the flesh. It may be for various reasons. We're not all made alike. Some of us can get puffed up much easier than another. I'm not saying this was the case regarding Paul. I'm not making any suggestions of what it was, but it was necessary in God's eyes to give him the thorn in the flesh. And so Paul did not like it. He didn't want it. Neither do you and I want a thorn in the flesh. It's painful, whatever it be. But friends, the dear Lord didn't leave Paul there, did he? When Paul besought the Lord that he would take it away, he said to Paul, "My grace shall be sufficient for thee. My grace shall be sufficient for thee. I won't leave you. I'll help you." But friends, the Lord expects to be sought by his children. He expects them to call upon him, to plead with him. We have that word that was with me recently, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And friends, it is most necessary. It's a solemn thing. If we can carry on without prayer, if we can manage our own affairs, I don't know how you find it, but I know how I find it. And the older I get, the more I need the Lord to sustain me, to help me, to strengthen me, to guide me, to lead me. Oh, friends, all that we might be enabled to consider what this word says, yea, before the day was, I am he. Before the day was, I am he. I believe that to be before the creation of this world. God reigned. God was in eternity. It was in eternity he chose a people before ever this world was created, before ever we were born. Yet the Lord chose a people. What a wonderful thing to consider. Has the Lord chose you and me? Are we amongst that number? friends, there are some wonderful things to consider regarding those that are chosen, those that are called, those who are His. Friends, the first thing is this. The Lord said, ye must be born again. We must be born again. Friends, we shall never get to heaven at last if we're not born again. If we're not possessors of the Spirit of God. The Lord has said that He will come to His children. He will enter in. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing to have and experience the presence of God. And I believe, friends, that all His children will experience it, and they will experience the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It must be so. They are one, they cannot be separated. The Father chose and called a people. He gave that responsibility, the salvation of their souls, unto His beloved Son Jesus. And Jesus laid down His life for His children, that they might be redeemed. And friends, the blessed Holy Spirit is our teacher. He takes the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. Friends, we haven't seen Jesus with the natural eye. But friends, what a wonderful thing it is if Jesus has been revealed to us, if He has been made precious to us, if we have heard His voice. And oh, what a precious, wonderful thing it is if we are taught of the Holy Ghost. The blessed Holy Ghost will quicken us into life. He will teach us. He will constrain us. Oh, friends, remember, when we are constrained by the Spirit of God, it's not the flesh. Not the flesh. All to be taught of the Spirit of God. Well, I say again, this blessed three-one God dwells in the hearts of His children. They shall come. They shall come. They'll come unto Me, unto the Lord. Friends, there are some of us here that can go back to the time when we didn't want to come. We wouldn't come. But the day came when the Lord dealt with us. He stopped us. He showed us what the end would be of these things if we continued in them and all the power of God, that's something, friends, that I believe we look for. When we come to the Word of God, when we read it, when we come into the house of God and hear the Word preached, what do we want? What do we look for? The power of God. And what a wonderful thing that is. And all the difference it makes when we feel and know the power of God, the effects of it. Remember David, who sinned grievously and was unrepentant. But the Lord came and he was humbled. Remember, the Lord sent his prophet unto him, who spoke to him in such a way that it arrested him, that it had a solemn effect upon him. And then he was charged, "Thou art the man, thou art the man." Oh, the power of God, how wonderful it is. Oh, I would that we could know more of the power of God in our lives, in our religion, in the preaching of the Word of God. Have not some of us, maybe all of us at some time or other, have been in a place of worship, not necessarily a strict Baptist, but even in strict Baptists as well, that we've been in a place of worship on the Sabbath day, and we have known that the Lord wasn't there. Wasn't there. It was the letter of the Word, and that's all we could hear. And how solemn those things are. But how blessed when the power of God is there. When his word comes home with divine power. And our hearts are melted. Our stony hearts are melted. We often mourn over hard hearts, stony hearts. The carnal flesh. That's what it is. We want the blessed Spirit of God to come, to humble us, to melt our hearts. And what a mercy, friends, that he does it from time to time. He has pronounced his blessing upon his children, that he will give them hearts of flesh, not stone. That's our natural dispositions, hearts of stone. Peter had to prove it, didn't he, that he had a heart of stone. Remember, the Lord told him that he would deny him thrice, and that after that the cock would crow. But he denied that it was could be, that it would be. But he was put to the test. And he had to solemnly prove he had a heart of stone. He denied knowing the Lord with oaths and curses. Is this the same dear man that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, that drew his sword out and struck one of the high priests? Yes, this was Peter. But friends, when he had denied the Lord and the cock crew, the Lord looked right into Peter's heart. And it broke his heart. The blessed power and Spirit of God entered his heart, and he was humbled, brought to repentance. He went out and wept bitterly. He never forgot that great sin. He never forgave himself for that. Neither did Saul, who was a persecutor of Jesus Christ and the Church of God. But the dear Lord forgave them. Go and tell my disciples, the Lord said, and Peter. And he said to Ananias that he would show Paul what great things he must suffer for Christ's sake. Oh, friends, the wonders of redeeming love and the work of grace. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I do like this word. It's a sacred, blessed word, friends. You and I, from time to time, have so many fears. It's unbelief. Our God reigns. He rules. He has the hearts of all men in his hands. We have proved it. We have proved it in the Word of God. Look at the soldiers at the sepulchre, guarding the sepulchre, to make sure that his disciples didn't come and take Jesus away. But the angel of God came, and they were powerless. They couldn't move. This is the power of our God, friends. And he is still the same today. Yea, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Lord knows what he will do. He knows what he will do with you and I. And none can deliver out of his hand. If the Lord has appointed that you and I have got to walk in a certain way, in a pathway, it may be in affliction, there's none that will deliver out of his hand. Remember, friends, that our God is the heavenly I can't think of the word I want, physician. He's the good physician. If he has appointed that you and I should walk in a certain affliction, it won't matter what doctors or specialists may try and do, they won't succeed. If God has appointed it, because, friends, he gives his children a cup to drink, and we have to drink it, we have to walk in it. But, friends, it also, we also might speak of it the other way. There are times when we may come into some affliction, but the Lord is pleased to deliver us out of it. He is pleased to make a way of escape. He may use that affliction to teach us something, to open our eyes, and then when the work of grace is done, the Lord will heal. Oh, friends, how we need these things that we come into to be sanctified to us. Remember his blessed word. He says in his word that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's God's word. And you and I, oft times, as we look at these things that we come into, can't see how they can possibly work together for good. We might say and feel that it's too late now. It might be concerning ourselves, it might be concerning another. But the Lord says regarding his children, they shall come. They'll come unto him. The Lord will deliver them from the flesh and from the devil. Blessed be his holy name. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. There is none that can deliver. We have many fears regarding our nation and sin. Oh, there's so many things that make us shudder. Man has been given so much power and authorities, but friends, all that we might remember, our God reigns. Our God reigns. He can bring to confusion. He can undermine the plans and schemes of men. Friends, I should say it, I don't know, but it comes into my mind regarding these a few days ago, I think it was now, when 58, was it, souls were in that container, airtight container. They thought they was going to freedom. They thought they was going to escape to a better land. Instead of that, they all died. They perished, with the exception of two, I believe. They may still be alive, they may live for a few more years, we know not. But friends, these things are in the Lord's hand. Or that it might be a voice to each of us. How will it be with you and I when we come to the end of our lives? We don't know what means may be used to bring it to pass. But will it be well with us? Is our hope, our only hope, in a precious Christ? Have we been taught of the Spirit and brought to know that we're poor, lost, ruined sinners in ourselves, that we have failed in everything, failed in our religion? But he hasn't. He'll never fail. It is by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And that's what you and I have got to prove. We cannot do one thing toward the salvation of our souls. It's give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, what a solemn account that is in the Word of God of the foolish virgins. We have, as you know, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. They all had a religion, made a profession of religion. It looked the same. They communed together. They didn't see any difference in one another. But friends, how solemn it was when they came to the end of the journey. It was revealed then that they had no oil in their lamps. No oil in their lamps. They'd gone out. And what is that oil in the lamp? Is it not the grace of God? By grace ye are saved. They were lost. They perished. The Lord said that he depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you. Friends, there's many today that have a religion. They are proud of it. They think they've got a God-given faith. They'll say to poor, tried, fearing sinners, they should believe God. They should believe in the Word, and so on. But they don't know what it is to be tried and tempted. They haven't got the grace of God in their hearts. They're not born again. They've got a borrowed religion. Oh, friends, what a solemn thing to have a borrowed religion. That's one thing that I fear regarding the preaching of the Word of God. I don't want it to be borrowed. I don't want it to be man's preaching. I want it to be of God. And friends, we have to solemnly prove that if we are going to be used of God and preach His word, we have got to be empty. And I'm sure our dear friend here with us knows what that is, walks that pathway, is made, and I am made, and all his servants will be made dependent on him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to say? Oh, what a solemn thing it is to be emptied of self, and yet how necessary it is if we are to be used of God. For he is the heavenly potter and we are the clay. And it's no good the clay saying to the Lord, the heavenly potter, what doest thou, and so on. It's, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we need the Lord to give us grace that we might do it and leave it in his hands. We often have fears. I'm sure we all have these fears, especially in the preaching of the Word of God. Oft times, if we spent our strength for naught, where is the fruit? Where is the Lord? But friends, we don't know. We don't know where the word has gone. Bread cast upon the waters shall be seen. After many days, the word of God tells us this. And we have proved it, here and there. Oh, how good the Lord is. He gives his children just enough to keep their heads above water, as it were. You know what I mean? Peter again, remember how he and the other disciples were in the ship and they saw Jesus walking toward them in the darkness of the night on the water. They couldn't believe it. They thought it was a spirit. They cried out in fear. And the dear Lord Jesus responded immediately to their cries, "It is I, be not afraid." Oh, I think that's beautiful, beautiful. The love of Jesus was in that. "It is I, be not afraid." Oh, how wonderful that would be if the Lord would come and speak those sacred words to us from time to time when we are afraid. Ah, perhaps he has to some of you. But remember, the response Peter gave to it. He said, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come, come." Peter clambered over the side and began to walk toward Jesus on the water. Yes, he proved the almighty power of God. But he feared. He looked at the waves and the billows. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and immediately he began to sink. And he cried out unto the Lord, "Save, Lord." And the Lord stretched out his hand and took hold of him. Friends, Jesus is the same blessed God today. And his children will come into these spots and places. It is where they are tried. And they will prove in these spots and places that is where the Lord has stretched forth his hand. He has delivered them. He has spoken to them. Ah, friends, if only we could be rid of unbelief. What an enemy, what a great enemy that is to us. And yet, friends, our God is faithful. He is faithful. Oh, we have so many instances of it in the Word of God, of his faithfulness to his dear children. And he knows where you and I are today. He knows what we're in. He knows the things that we fear. Oh, that the Lord might come. Oh, that he would go before us. Oh, that we might see his wonder-working hand. "I will work, and who shall let it?" Oh, friends, that is what you and I want to see, isn't it? We want to see it in our lives. We want to see it in our families. We want to see it in the house of God. We want to see it in our nations. Oh, friends. Oh, what sad, solemn days we live in. Yet let us remember, many things are spoken of and prophesied in the Word of God regarding the last days. And so we see these things are gradually being fulfilled in the midst. Well, we must leave these few things, or that we might be enabled to consider God's word, "I will work, and who shall let it?" We hope to try and speak a little of that this afternoon. May the Lord bless his word to us and forgive all that has been amiss for his name's sake.